This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
You know what may wreck people's experience with Twitter is the new owner, Elon Musk. Finally, after such controversy, Elon Musk is now the official owner of Twitter. But there's a lot of talk on Twitter about people saying, you know what? I don't want to be part of this social media platform with Elon Musk, too many changes. So I want to delve into that. And I'm curious, if you are on Twitter, will you stay on Twitter, or is this an opportunity for you to leave Twitter? You know, you can always call or text 416-870-6400. My guest this half hour is Dr. Brett Carraway, Associate Professor with the Institute of Communication, Culture, Information, and Technology at the University of Toronto. Professor Carraway, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, I'm happy to be here.
Let's just remind our listeners, I mean, this went on back and forth for the last number of weeks, if not months, but Elon Musk now owns Twitter. Can you just bring us up to speed of the background to get to this point?
Sure. So, he's obviously an avid Twitter user. He's got about over 100 million followers on Twitter. He had made an offer to purchase Twitter for, I think it was $44 billion, and then got into a little bit of a tussle with the current owners, charging them basically with sort of misrepresenting the amount of spam and bots that were on Twitter. But in the end, Twitter filed a lawsuit against him, and I think he was kind of compelled to go ahead and go through with the purchase. And that's where we are now. He managed to pull together something like $33 billion. He had to take on quite a bit of debt, something to the tune of $12 to $13 billion of financing to pull the deal off, which is going to make for a really hefty interest payment annually, something like $1 billion, which makes my mortgage seem not so bad now. But that's kind of where we are.
Yeah. So when he's taking on that kind of debt, he definitely wants this to be a moneymaker. What are some of the things that we're hearing as to how Twitter is going to look in the future and what that will mean to the average Twitter user?
I think it's a little bit early to say, but, you know, in the past, he has made comments sort of disparaging the presence of advertising on Twitter. Advertising annoys everybody, whether it's on a website or TV or even radio. But that is how we keep the lights on, right? So Twitter has advertising as its primary revenue model. He has suggested that maybe in addition to that, they might do something like make it possible for subscribers to pay a certain amount of money and then avoid advertising, sort of a hybrid model. And I suspect that that may be something that he does in the future. But, you know, a lot of the trepidation or anxiety here is about what will happen to this sort of role or presence of civil discourse on Twitter. Because, of course, Elon Musk is a self-professed free speech absolutist. So one of the things that he's been talking about is bringing back people who have been permanently banned and making this more of a safe harbor for all types of speech. And I pointed out the financing part of this initially because this is, of course, directly related to that. If advertisers get skittish because they're worried about extremist content showing up on Twitter, they may flee, and with them goes their money. So General Motors, for example, has announced that they are temporarily suspending advertising on Twitter. So this is the thing that Elon Musk, the businessman, will have to contend with rather than sort of Elon Musk, the free speech advocate. So it's going to be a balancing act for him.
We were talking earlier on the show with our newsperson, Dave Bradley, and this idea of Twitter looking at charging $20 a month for verification. Have you heard about this as far as people who have verified accounts? They might end up having to pay $20 a month, is the way I understand it?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of different ideas sort of put forward here. The idea here is that certain social media influencers have sort of an outsized presence on social media platforms, and they can leverage that to their financial advantage. And so the platform operators oftentimes want to get in on a cut of that sort of money.
My guest this morning is Dr. Brett Carraway, Associate Professor with the Institute of Communication, Culture, Information, and Technology at the University of Toronto. Brett, I've seen on Twitter a lot of people saying, you know what, I'm getting off it. I'm leaving Twitter because of this. Do you think those are just empty threats or another chance to either get a lot of haters after them or a lot of clicks? I'm not sure.
Well, I think back to my days on Facebook and how many of my friends would say, I'm leaving, you know, just loudly announce, I'm leaving this party. And then they would disappear for a couple of weeks, months, and then unceremoniously show up again. You know, Twitter has something like 240 million users, and people use Twitter for a lot of different things. It's hard to leave the platform. You know, one of the things that Elon Musk is talking about doing is sort of dramatically expanding the scope of what Twitter is. He's looking to examples like WeChat, which is everything from instant messaging to mobile payment to a news source. And if he does make Twitter sort of more expansive in terms of the scope of its functionality, that will just make it even harder for people to leave. I've seen some sort of chatter around some left-leaning figures in the U.S., like Rachel Maddow and former President Barack Obama, losing some subscribers. Meanwhile, people like Carrie Lake from Arizona and Representative Lauren Boebert from, I think, Colorado, they've picked up some subscribers. So I think there's some sort of anxiety that the left is going to abandon Twitter and Twitter will become a right-wing place. But I just think that's a lot of anxiety that's happening because of the change in ownership. I think that Elon Musk would have to make some dramatic changes to sort of lose his user base. And he doesn't want to do that because ultimately that's what's going to help him pay that $1 billion in annual interest that he's going to have to be responsible for now that he's the proud owner.
And he couldn't do something like flip a house, make a few changes, and then try to find another buyer. I mean, we're talking a lot of money here. There's very few people who could step up to the plate anyway if he wasn't happy with Twitter.
Well, he might find it hard to find a buyer because Twitter has sort of posted anemic revenues over the years. So, you know, it might be hard to flip that social media platform. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Go back to the advertising, though. So do you think Elon Musk, he'll continue with it? I mean, as you say, everyone dislikes ads, but it is a free platform, whether it be a Facebook or an Instagram. So it's almost something that you have to put up with. But he's not talking about getting rid of that. If anything, he wants to make sure he secures those advertisers.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first things that he did was he stated that Twitter aspires to be the most respected advertising platform in the world. That's a direct quote. And that's to sort of allay the fears of his real customers, which aren't you and me, but the advertisers, because that's where the money is coming from. I mean, this is an advertising-supported platform. It's a multi-sided market, but he's got to keep the user base there and keep them happy because that's what brings the advertisers and the advertisers bring the money. So I don't see him suddenly shifting gears into a subscription only service. He's going to have to keep the advertisers there. And in doing so, that in a sense will help to moderate the content because advertisers don't want their messages showing up on Twitter alongside extremist content. That's just not good for business.
No kidding. Interesting days ahead for sure. Thank you so much, Brett, for your input on it.
Always a pleasure.
Brett Carraway, Associate Professor with the Institute of Communication, Culture, Information, and Technology at the University of Toronto. They have got it covered.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.